Pakistani finds itself once again in political chaos. The country's embattled civilian leadership and the Supreme Court are clashing, and there are calls on the steps of the parliament for the immediate ouster of the government. Violence is surging, and the country's relations with the West and India are as strained as ever. Joining us now are Marvin Weinbaum, a scholar in residence at the Middle East Institute in Washington, D.C., and we have New York Times reporter Declan Walsh on the line from Islamabad. Welcome to our show.
Troy.
Declan, the country seems to be in crisis today, and I have to wonder, is this anything new?
It's not. Pakistan has gone through a lot of convulsions, particularly in the last decade. But the last week, as you say, has been particularly tumultuous here. There have been both political and militancy-related developments. There was a very serious suicide bombing this day last week in which over 100 people were killed in the western city of Quetta. But most of the attention has been focused here in Islamabad. There's a preacher-turned-political activist named Tahir al-Qadri who took thousands of people into the streets here to protest against the government and to call for its overthrow. That sparked a crisis which has just come to a climax this evening, actually, and which now seems to be in the process of diffusing itself.
Marvin, are these current trends particularly disturbing?
Well, they are, if you believe, as some do there, that what we're seeing here are the conditions being set for a soft coup. There's a great deal of concern here that the democracy, which seems to have gotten as far as concluding a term of office and conceivably a transfer of power, might be aborted by some of what's going on, and of course a great deal of suspicion that the military may be manipulating the situation.
Well, Declan, why did the Supreme Court in Pakistan order the arrest of the Prime Minister, Asif Ali Zardari, earlier this week? Wouldn't that be a kind of a soft coup?
The Supreme Court ordered the arrest of the Prime Minister, Rajab Pervez Ashraf, relating to a corruption case that's been ongoing for about a year now. What wasn't surprising was that the court went for Mr. Ashraf because it has a long history. It's been pursuing a sort of very bitter grudge match with Mr. Zardari's government through the courts over the past year. In June, the court scored a victory of sorts by forcing the resignation of the previous prime minister, Yusuf Reza Gilani. So it wasn't, in one sense, it wasn't a surprise that it went for the prime minister, but what was very striking, certainly, was the timing. The court announced this arrest order just as this preacher, Mr. Qadri, was taking his march to Islamabad. The government was very much on the ropes. And if not a sign of a soft coup, it certainly was a sign that Pakistan's courts, led by the Chief Justice Iftikhar Muhammad Chowdhury, has become very much a force of its own making and of its own power over the last couple of years. And it's asserting that very strongly.
So are they competing with the ISI and some of the other powerful groups in Pakistan?
Well, traditionally, people used to say that power or the results of power in Pakistan were determined by the three A's, Allah, the army, and America. And with the role of America has certainly been very controversial over the last number of years because of the raid on bin Laden and various other tensions between the Obama administration and the government and the military here. So America's influence to some degree has reduced in Pakistan, and the court has very much interposed itself as a new player in the power game, a force to be reckoned with, particularly under Justice Chowdhury.
Now, I had the wrong man being arrested, but has that order been carried out?
There was a court hearing on the issue today. The government lawyers made it clear that they were going to contest it. They believe that this is an unconstitutional or an illegal order on the part of the court. And the government's anti-corruption body, which is supposed to be implementing this order, officials in that body stood up and said that they simply didn't have a case to make against the prime minister. That led to some very angry exchanges with the judges on the bench who felt that their orders were being defied. And the case has now been postponed until January 23rd.
Marvin, what's led to the protests against the government?
Well, it's a bit of a mystery. Mr. Qadri has been in Canada for the last 7 years or so. And his coming back at this time, when we are approaching this period of election being just months away now, has led some people to feel that somehow in his call for electoral reform, that what he was doing was working together with the military. There's been no proof as such of that, but working together with the military to somehow abort that process. And and there are some others who see the Supreme Court as being somehow implicated in this. One thing about Pakistan is that you're going to get conspiracy theories galore. And so it's not at all surprising that people put together events. But there was here an intersection here of events which has put a great many people ill at ease. Let me say that the most observers don't believe that the military is ready now, certainly, to assume power, certainly not in its own name. I think the concern is here that what they may do is to use some of these other elements here to bring into being what they would call a government of technocrats, then for a indefinite period of time tell them to set the political system straight. This was something that we saw a few years ago in Bangladesh, that has been a concern. But one more thing I would mention here is that this is a very different situation in 1999. Right now, there are a good many stakeholders in the maintenance of this democratic system, in the civil society, in the media, the political parties, of course, themselves. So unless I believe the military is really going to take this under their own responsibility, which I don't think that they are, they're probably going to be able to get through this period.
Now, Declan, what is Mr. Qadri's political orientation? Didn't he issue a fatwa against terrorism in 2010?
Well, certainly.
Are those dogs barking in protest against the Pakistani government?
I think that might be the remnants of Mr. Qadri's protest, filing away off the street. Mr. Qadri's politics, he's certainly shown himself to be a religious moderate in the past. He's a Sufi scholar. He's someone who's spoken very much about interfaith harmony, which is a message that I think is probably not heard often enough here in Pakistan, in public at least, in recent years. But on the other hand, he was someone who previously participated in politics under the military ruler Pervez Musharraf. He spent just a couple of years in parliament between 2002 and 2004. He resigned his seat at that point, saying that he'd become disillusioned with the corruption of politics. He said that parliament was effectively toothless and useless, in his words. And he left for Canada. So the amazing thing about Mr. Qadri is that he, in the space of less than a month, he has gone from someone who was really a non-entity in Pakistan, someone who was not prominent in public life at all. He returned from Canada and mounted this very intensive and indeed expensive television advertising campaign to promote his ideas, particularly calling for the government to resign immediately, which was one of his earlier demands. And all of a sudden, here he is on the streets of Islamabad, effectively closing down the capital for 3 or 4 days and issuing these very strident demands to the government that have received saturation media coverage here. So in that sense, it's an extraordinary development.
We have to leave it there.
The
New York Times reporter Declan Walsh talking to us from Islamabad. Marvin Weinbaum, scholar in residence at the Middle East Institute in Washington, D.C. Thank you both.